All right, welcome to the show. It's Friday.
Yeah, it is.
And Disco, have you swept, this is a kind of a random question, granted, but have you ever swept your ancestors' tombs by chance?
No, I can't say that I've done that.
Yeah, it's kind of an odd task. I get that. So okay. You should, though, because it's the King Ming Festival today, or as others call it.
Oh, okay, that's why you
asked. Tomb Sweeping Day. Yeah, gotcha. It's Tomb Sweeping Day. Okay. Also, right. National Deep Dish Pizza Day, something that I think a lot more people are probably behind. At least I'm behind that. I could go for a deep dish right now.
Remember when we split a deep dish in Chicago together?
That was
delicious.
That was romantic. Yeah. It wasn't romantic.
No, it wasn't.
but it was a fun night. That was a late night. To be clear, though, I'm not saying you shouldn't sweep your ancestor's tomb just because I'm choosing deep dish over that. But I think something that we could do, maybe we can come to terms here, is maybe we bring them all together. So, you know, we stack it up. You, instead of going and sweeping and trying to clean up your ancestor's tomb, you bring them a deep dish pizza.
Or it's you do the cleaning and you have a pizza there while you're cleaning.
Well, I mean, you don't want to sweep and get dust like on your pizza.
I don't know. Or is it metaphorical? Are they saying like sweep your ancestor's tomb, like you have to go pray or do something?
No, like I've literally seen pictures of people.
Broom and dustpan.
No, it goes back like 2,500 years, this tradition.
All right.
So, whatever. That's the day that it is. we're not celebrating either of them here. It is a great show today, though. Author of Make Love Great Again, challenger to Nancy Pelosi in 2020, and host of Winning the Culture War, Deanna Lorraine, will be here. Also, director of forward deployed operations for the Global Surgical Medical Support Group, and former Army Ranger Byron Bepley will join us. So great show. Make sure you stick around for those guests. But hey, in the meantime, if you need pain relief like I do, and I literally do today, and are sick of the pain pills and their side effects, try the NeuroCore MyTouch body system. Mike, Disco, and I all have one, and it's made a world of difference. Whether you've got sciatica, sore knees, low back pain, or just need to recover faster, NeuroCore is your answer. And best of all, folks, OpsLens viewers get 30% off by just purchasing that system in the OpsLens store. That's huge savings, so go to the OpsLens store right now and start managing pain without pills. That's the OpsLens store at OpsLens.com or on the OpsLens app. All right, let's get to it. Let's get to the weekend, and we'll start and do a trip across the headlines.
Yeah, let's do it.
So this was kind of big. You guys probably saw this, but Michael Cohen really doesn't want to go to prison.
Shocking.
Can you blame the guy? Yeah. So President Trump's former personal lawyer says that he has new information to offer Democrats if authorities reduce or delay the upcoming 3-year prison sentence. How convenient, right? That makes sense. Cohen's attorneys say he has discovered substantial files on a hard drive that could help investigations of the president. The hard drive is said to include over 14 million files, which consist of emails, voice recordings, images, and attachments from Cohen's computers and phones. So is this real? I doubt it. Can I say with certainty? No. But is, you know, what we do know about this guy is that he's a pathological liar who's set to serve a bunch of time in prison that he, by the way, doesn't want to spend. No one would. So saying, hey, I'll give you interesting info to review if you delay my prison sentence sounds about as promising as a gay black man magically being assaulted with bleach in a noose during a polar vortex in Chicago while firmly holding on to his Subway sandwich. To me, it's way too good to be true. Take it with a grain of salt, people. That's I don't know. I don't have the answers. But he's not exactly the most trustworthy person that you've ever encountered, this Michael Cohen.
No, of course. I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
I got nothing else to say on that.
Nothing else to add.
I totally agree.
All right. Well, so we mentioned Jussie there, or we alluded to Jussie. So speaking of him, he's refusing to reimburse the city of Chicago $130,000 for the cost of police overtime spent investigating his false police report on 29 January of this year. Apparently, the law department is now drafting a civil complaint that will be filed in the Circuit Court of Cook County. The law department will file the suit in the near future. As a part of this legal action, the law department will pursue the full measure of damages allowed under the ordinance. And on that same thread, we've mentioned how law enforcement officials were not all too happy with the state attorney's office over the charges being dropped, and we can all get behind that. Now a group of suburban police chiefs aligned with the Chicago Fraternal Order of Police are trying to give, have given the Cook County State Attorney's Office, Kim Fox, I was going to say Knox, it's not, it's Fox, two X's, not like, what's the movie?
F-O-X, you got me.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. So they've given Chicago, or Cook County State Attorney, Kim Fox, a vote of no confidence this week because of all the dismissed charges. So things not looking great for them. FOP President Kevin Graham said some 30 suburban police leaders took a step further at a news conference calling on Fox to resign from her elected office. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, kind of where things go over the next couple days, how this develops. Do I see a change coming? No, but I'm glad that law enforcement officials are actually standing up for the rule of law, common sense, and civility. After all that hard work to see it all get thrown down, I know that they're frustrated. We're frustrated. And to see, you know, Jussie get off the hook with this is pretty frustrating.
I just loved how the day after they came out with all the reports, they just put it out there. Like, you know what? He got away with it, but look what everything that we found. Here's all the evidence. Here's all the stuff that goes through. It was slightly redacted, so some things you couldn't read. It was more like names, stuff like that. But it just, and then he's still like, oh no, I didn't do it. And then the what was the thing he said? Oh, I wouldn't be
my mother's son
if I would have done this.
Yeah.
Well, you did.
You did. And you are. And regardless. You are.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So you could light a building on fire and you're still your mother's son. That's just science. So then on to this, some other people aren't happy with results. Attorney General William Barr has defended his handling of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report on the Russia investigation, stating that the confidential document contains sensitive grand jury material that prevented it from being immediately released to the public. As we mentioned this week, though, not everyone is okay with this four-page summary. On Wednesday, House Democrats approved subpoenas for Mueller's entire report and any exhibits and other underlying evidence that the Justice Department might withhold. But we talked about this yesterday with Meister, and we'll talk about it a little bit later on the show with Deanna Lorraine. Here's the underlying truth here. The investigation is over. It's done. Finuto. I don't know if that's actually a word, but I'm saying it. And the report in its full or summarized version came out, and President Trump was cleared of any wrongdoing. So you can see the full report. Yeah, of course you can, and you're going to, but does it matter? No. It only makes it clear that you're acting entitled, foregoing procedures related to classified materials by not waiting for them to go through the normal process, and that you want to find a sentence or two or three or anything in there that you can spin to help your delusional, ludicrous, and void of any reality narrative. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, and you know what it is?
What?
Ridiculous bullshit.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. So it's just crazy. I said it before. He came out with the report. This is what it is. He's been exonerated. You don't like it? Grow up. Move on.
Move on. Move on. It's the weekend.
Life,
let's all be happy. It's the weekend. Let's go grill. You know what? Saturday, I'm going to get this awesome hot dog stand by our house, taking all the kids there tomorrow. It's going to be awesome. Not telling you people where it is because there's a lot of you who don't like me. So, but let's move on here to Buttigieg. So Democratic presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg said that he would stop using the phrase all lives matter because he's realized what it actually means to the Black Lives Matter movement. So the South Bend, Indiana mayor was criticized by Black Lives Matter proponents over a resurfaced statement in a State of the City address in 2015 where he used the phrase, all lives matter. On Thursday, he indicated that he has since come to understand how politically incorrect the phrase is. He said this quote, "At that time, I was talking about a lot of issues around racial reconciliation in our community. What I did not understand at that time was that the phrase just early into mid-2015 was coming to be viewed as a sort of counter slogan to Black Lives Matter. To this, I say stop it, like man up, like say what you think. And the truth really is all lives do matter. And me saying that or anyone saying that does not mean you're racist or unsympathetic to Black Lives Matter. It just means that you're a rational person and that you value everyone and not just the violent and oppressive group known as Black Lives Matter, who, by the way, is the most racist group in this entire conversation with some of their actions that they've done over the years. So let's get some perspective here, people. I hate that I totally expect it and am not surprised about it, but I hate that he's out there apologizing for this. All lives matter. It's a pretty clear thing. And making a group for just one or having a graduation for just one, all of it's wrong. Let's get some perspective back here.
Well, we've said it before on the show. Like, we're all in this world together. We all live together. If you're for humanity, everyone matters. No one's more special than the other. It doesn't matter your race, gender, income, social status, whatever. We're all the same. We're just flesh and blood. So, you know, deal with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Deal with it. All right, and then this last story here. This was somewhat surprising to me. I make it abundantly clear how I feel about Don Lemon a good bit on the show. He's misguided. He's inexperienced.
Maybe once or twice.
Just a couple times. But somehow he's got, you know, he's got a massive platform on CNN, which, by the way, statistically did not have a good first quarter. Not one show was in the top 20 for ratings in quarter one. But I'll give him some credit here. He and Chris Cuomo, who I do not like also, I guess I don't like a lot of their hosts, but they're just angry people. They were having a conversation and talking about 2020, and Cuomo's saying how, you know, there's you know, a lot of candidates that are vying for this spot. President Trump is not hitting his base. He's not hitting on some of the campaign marks that he had promised, and he's going to be in trouble. Don Lemon has a little different response in this one that I do appreciate. Take a look.
Because I don't see how he wins again with the numbers that he has right now. I don't
see
it.
Have you seen what the Democrats are doing?
Well, no, listen, you can't beat somebody with nobody. We know that. But, you know, I'm saying that that's one of the practicalities of politics. But what I'm saying is we'll see where they have to be. They're nowhere in their process. And, you know, it's going to be ugly. That's the way those processes are. It was the same thing on the Republican side last time. But he had a simple task as a president, which is to build off your base. Mm-hmm. He hasn't done it. So that would be my concern for him if I were working on his team.
So, first of all, I don't know who welcomes a punch in the face more, Cuomo or Acosta. they both just well up that response that you want to do something there. I'm not suggesting anyone go and do that, but that's the kind of face that's happening there. But I also don't know where these numbers are coming from. You know, how do you actually gauge? You look at these rally, and I'm saying this, I don't know either. But how do you actually gauge whether his base has gone up, down, remained stagnant, et cetera? You see the rallies; they're always sold out. There's always huge groups waiting outside. And just today, Rasmussen reports that the new tracking poll for him is 51% of likely U.S. voters approve of his performance. That's a pretty damn good stat at this stage in his presidency.
I don't think it's been that high ever.
Yeah, so his numbers are looking pretty good. Yes, there are a lot of people who really dislike him, but there's a lot of good things going on too. And then also, as you guys should know from 2016, Democrats and folks at CNN, the really you can't trust any of these polls or your opinions or analysis anyways, because no one thought that he had a chance in hell to win the election. And he's the president of the United States. So I thought it was interesting. I liked that Don, you know, and he said, look, before that part and after that part, he said a lot of negative things about the president. But I liked that he laughed when Cuomo brought up the candidates now and kind of, you know, the fact that they need to go out and take advantage of them. He was like, they're not doing a good job. That ain't good.
Yeah, it was just funny because he's laughing and then you see it click. He's like, I should stop laughing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Because it goes against the narrative of what they do.
Yeah.
And so it's just crazy to see them spit this out. And it's just them trying to get their viewers and their voters riled up so they can show up to vote. What happened last time? They didn't show up to vote.
Yeah.
Or if they did, they voted for Trump.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So, I mean, he won. So it's just go out and vote, people.
Is Abigail just randomly spinning
in
the background?
I think she was.
I'm looking for my yardstick.
All right, on that note, welcome to the office, folks. Yeah. We're going to take a break. When we return, we'll be joined by Deanna Lorraine. Stick around. Welcome back, folks. Excited to have our next guest on. But before I do, please remember, do me a favor real quick and go to the OpsLens store and get your freedom swag on. The store has awesome shirts for men and for you as well, ladies. You can get one of our challenge coins here, this very mug right here. So check it out at OpsLens.com or download the OpsLens app. All right, so we've chatted a lot about Joe Biden this week, his sniffing practices. We've chatted a lot about the Mueller report this week and how you know, just everyone's losing their mind on the left talking about it. And we're going to do it all again. But from the mind of author of Make Love Great Again and the host of the forthcoming show on OLTV, Winning the Culture War with Deanna Lorraine. Deanna Lorraine. Deanna, good to see you.
Good to see you guys as usual. What's up, crew?
Well, it's first of all, I don't know if I've said your name so many times in such a short span because you're the host. I'm welcoming you in. I'm telling you it's good to see you. But It's kind of like a Beetlejuice thing that we just did here. I hope nothing bad happens saying it that many times. But we're good. I'm anxious to get your perspective on this. So, again, we've talked a lot about Joe Biden this week. I kind of started off the week with the stance of being like, this is just how Joe greets people. He's kind of old school like that. He's a little weird about it. But then the stories do keep coming out. Some of the pictures get a little bit more damning. I still don't know that it's, you know, necessarily all malicious or done with ill will. He might just be a strange dude. But I wanted to get your thoughts on it. So as the week has kind of come to an end and we have more information to work with, how say you on this whole issue?
Right. Well, I've been tweeting about it a lot this week. And a strange dude, I think, is an understatement of the century. I think he is more than just a strange dude. I think he is a creepy dude. And I do that. I think that what he's doing is there's more to it than meets the eye. I think that the key is that there's more going on behind closed doors that we don't know about. And that the sniffing is just the tip of the iceberg. If he's so comfortable sniffing hair and kind of half groping people in public, then what is he doing in private? But we can't prove that, right? So all right. We have to go off of are these allegations. All we have to go after are these pictures. I don't know if you happen to see my Joe Biden picture, but there was one that was on my Twitter account floating the other day. Luckily, someone just doctored it up and Photoshopped it, but people were going crazy about it. But yeah, all we have to go by are these women's facial expressions and these children's facial expressions too,
right?
That they do not seem comfortable. They do not seem happy. And I as much as I would love to crucify him because I hate him and it would be great for the taste to have the left have a taste of their own medicine. I really want to see that. We have to take a step back too and think, is this the new standard that we want to really push out there? That hugging someone and making them uncomfortable when they hug them or kissing them on the cheek or an Eskimo kiss or sniffing their hair, as gross as that is and creepy as that is, if that becomes the new standard where that's a Me Too moment and someone could have a lawsuit against them or lose their job, I think that we're really entering dangerous waters there. And then men are really going to be confused about what they can and cannot do.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. Not tend to agree with you. But do you think...
I'd like to find something more to hang him on, though. Something really damning.
Well, here's my concern with it, too. And I've said this all week, too. And I'm sure people are sick of me saying it, but I'm going to say it again. To me, look, if I don't think that Trump loses this next election, thank God. But I think if there's anyone that he were going to lose to, he is maybe the safest, most moderate of all those people. So I also have concerns that there's other folks that are more progressive left, more socialist left, that are trying to push him out of this because he is a moderate, reasonable candidate who puts his foot in his mouth all the time and now we know has a sniffing problem. But like other than that, like has some decent qualities. If we're gonna say something positive about any of the people on that side, I tend to lean towards Joe. So I wonder, do you think that some of this has to do with his own party eating him alive a little bit here, or is this?
I think so. They're so crazy that they would never, ever turn their back on someone of their own unless there's an agenda. That's what I've come to realize about the left, because they never turn in their own. But when they do eat their own, I think there's an agenda behind it, and I think that he's a threat to them. I think he's too moderate. And the sad thing is, though, I think he would actually give Trump a run for his money a little bit. But I think that they want to get rid of him, and this is their way to do that. I think their money is behind the likes of Kamala Harris at this point.
Yeah, which is, God, that's terrifying.
I don't know which is more terrifying, her or Hillary, but she's pretty, I feel like she would be just like another Obama in a dress.
Yeah, exactly. No,
not to say he never did wear a dress, but
I think
she would be openly.
Let's not rule it out. So do you think, last thing on Biden, do you think his response to all of this of saying, hey, maybe I just didn't understand how other people greet, I apologize, I'll try and learn from it. Do you think he's done a decent job of apologizing, or has it all seemed like lip service?
It all seems like lip service to me. I mean, what, the guy's 70? I don't think that he's going to be changing his ways anytime soon, and he's done this his whole life.
Right.
And there has been countless stories about him. We see Jeff Sessions give him a look one time when it looked like he was going to hug his granddaughter, saying, hands off my granddaughter. I think that he's been doing this for a while. And like I said, I really wonder if this is just the tip of the iceberg and there's more things going on behind the scenes with him, more really creepy behaviors, But right now, all we can judge him on is his public displays of sniffing and kissing.
Yeah.
And to me, it's just gross.
Yeah.
I don't think his apologies are acceptable, but it's permissible.
Right. Well, it is. It's like going on your line of logic. It's like when you see a parent really getting after their kid in public in an aggressive way, it's like, God, that's what we're seeing here. What's going on at the house? That always terrifies me. All right, I said we're done with Joe, but we're kind of done with Joe. But last question: weirdest way you have ever been greeted, or awkwardly touched in an introduction?
That's a great question. I think that one of those things where it's cool when it's wanted, but when it's not wanted, it's not cool. Is when just the other day I had an older man look at me and then said, "Wow, aren't you a hot little thing?" and then twirled me around like I'm 8 years old. And it would be cute if it was a hot guy, but it was an old man and, you know, with a leather jacket thinking it was a young guy. So I think that little twirl is not so acceptable when you're over 70.
So don't twirl. Really though, even if a young hot guy, that's not too forward for a young hot guy?
Yep. I think it's kind of cute with a young hot guy if I've already signaled interest in him. I think it's sort of an alpha move. But you gotta be confident enough to pull it off, though.
Yeah, you can't be hesitant.
You can't just like start and then kind of be hesitant about it. If you're going to do it, you got to commit to it all the way, the full twirl.
That's true. And anything in life, if you're going to do it, go all
the way. Yeah. Has David ever done the twirl?
No, David's incapable of the twirl. He gets dizzy very easily.
Wait, like me twirling someone or me twirling?
Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea what we're even talking about.
I don't know either. I'm confused.
All right. Well, last question before we let you go. So, you know, the Mueller report comes out, no collusion, you know, no obstruction of justice.
Their worst nightmare.
Exactly. There's no nothing. So they're obviously not happy about it. I'm sure they knew this was coming, their narrative coming to an end, or so we would hope. It's clearly not. They're keeping it alive, even though they've said, Trump, you're good to go. You didn't do anything wrong. They are still upset. And now they're saying, we want full access to the report, to which Barr is saying, hey, I'm going to give it to you in time. But they're saying that, you know, we want it now. They're talking about subpoenas. They're talking about all this stuff. But how crazy is this that they already know the result? Now, maybe there is some phrasing in there that makes the president look a little, you know, less
That's
good.
That's what I'm concerned about.
But even so, even if there's some phrasing and some sentences that they're looking for that they can help spin up and put back into the top of the news cycle, the result remains the same. So what is their agenda here?
Well, it's just so funny because this whole time, Mueller was their hero, right? He was their hero. Trust Mueller, trust his findings. He's going to come up with something damning. And whatever he says, we're going to trust him. And then the minute after he releases the report, it's, oh, he's wrong. We can't trust him. We've got to go find this on our own. And so they think that they can do a better job somehow of investigating Trump than, you know, every single, the CIA, the FBI, the 500 different search warrants and everything else that's been investigated for the last 2 years. Somehow they think they can do a better job of them, the Democrats.
Right.
Of course, they want to just incriminate him. Of course, they want to crucify him against the wall and they want to continue their narrative. Plus, they have nothing to talk about on the news anymore. Their news are boring. They've lost thousands, if not millions of viewers.
Yeah.
So they just want to find something wrong and they want to be right. I wish that in the report that they didn't say that one phrase, but this does not exonerate Trump, because if they hadn't said that, that just gives them that one little inch of wiggle room for the Democrats to continue to go off on him in the news and otherwise. And I wish they had just said in the news, you know, in the report, this does exonerate Trump. But of course, they left that little window open for them to have. You can't just give them a little window of room, right?
Yeah.
They're going to use that and run 10 miles with it.
Absolutely. And they're going to run all the way up to 2020 with it. That will be their narrative.
They will. That will be their narrative. They won't stop talking about it. They won't shut up. I want it to be case closed, and they won't.
Yeah, no, they won't. They're incapable of that. Last thing, and then we got to run here. Bob Mueller, you know, investigation's done. Now they don't like him at all. Do you just move to, like, Costa Rica or something? What do you do if you're him?
I feel bad for him because the right hates him. The left hates him now. I think he should just hang up his shingle, go to Panama, have an umbrella in your drink, and just chill out for the rest of your life. Like, lay low. I don't think he has any business showing his face in America anymore.
Yeah.
I think he's like now the most hated man in America. But you might as well use your retirement years and just chillax.
Good advice. Probably should find, somewhere to lay low, maybe a safe house. Yeah. Don't know. But no
safe house.
Yeah, no one's big on you right now. Well, listen, Deanna, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, I was just going to say there's some march in Oregon, I think, tomorrow, a big anti-Mueller march. You know, they're now organizing marches anti-Mueller and, getting Mueller. So they've got their spears after him now, which is just crazy.
It is. They will turn so quick if you don't help their initiative, their agendas, their narrative, et cetera.
Yeah.
It's just remarkable to see. Well, listen, thanks so much for being here. We're obviously rooting for you and your show and looking forward to
it. I'm so excited.
It's going to be awesome. We're gonna be dumping out more information on that, winning the culture war as it gets close. But again, thanks for everything you do, and we'll look forward to seeing you again here real soon.
Sounds good. Bye, Drew and the gang.
Bye. All right, folks, stick around. On the other side of the break, we're going to be with Byron Bepley and tell you about some awesome work that he's doing. He's a former U.S. Army Ranger. Look forward to chatting with him. See you on the other side. All right, welcome back, folks. After spending 14 years in the military and in special operations, our next guest, Byron Bepley, rededicated his life to humanitarian aid, and he is here now to tell us about it. Byron, good to see you, man. Thanks for being here.
Hey, not a problem. Glad to be here.
Well, first off, thanks for your service. It's a big deal to us here at OpsLens. Almost all of us have served, so we really appreciate everything you've done for this country.
Absolutely. Thank you for your support.
You got it. Well, so let's start here. I think, you know, the logical spot to start. I usually don't go down the logical roads here, but I think that I'll try it this time. What is, you know, Global Surgical and Medical Support Group, and what do y'all do?
So the Global Surgical Medical Support Group is a group of highly trained individuals comprised of physicians, veterans, and nurses, special operations vets that have dedicated their lives as well to humanitarian aid. Whereas other humanitarian aid foundations just supply products and things of that nature, we provide is actually surgical care.
Okay. Awesome. And so, it's awesome that you guys are doing that. It seems like you're all over the globe doing it. How did you in particular get involved with this? Obviously you had a great career, you know, your service to this country, again, awesome and remarkable, but describe how you transitioned out of the military and then got involved with GSMSG.
Well, after getting out of the military, I did a lot of different jobs. And I kind of, you know, there's that thing that's calling you. You want to go back to the place you hate so much.
Yeah.
But in a capacity, and it just kind of draws you there. And I basically started searching for humanitarian aid foundations. And as I was doing it, other foundations were turning me away because I was a former veteran. And I was found that I got interviewed. And next thing I knew, I was deploying with GSMSG and really loved it and really started dedicating a lot of my time. And I was offered the position as their director for deployed operations.
I love it. I love it. Well, I totally get that itch that has to be scratched. You know, I deployed close to 40 times for the agency. And as much as you're like so glad to be out of there, it's like, man, I got to go back. I miss it. And so it's so cool that you're doing that and you're utilizing these skills. Would you say overall, obviously you said some positive things there, but would you say overall that the job satisfaction for you on a personal level in terms of scratching that itch, kind of feeling any, not just the emotional part that you're involved in doing these types of operations, but also just the adrenaline, rush. Do you hit the same things that you did when you were serving?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the greatest feelings in the world is to be able to walk away from something and see how your organization has been directly involved with the training of thousands of Peshmergan medics that are going to go out and utilize their training to save not only possibly their own life or the life of their brother. I mean, these people are wanting freedom and prosperity just like we want in America, and it was being oppressed by terrorism, just like we've been oppressed by terrorism. You know, they want the same things. And then to be able to watch our physicians and nurses work in the hospitals, teaching other nurses and actually conducting thousands and hundreds of full-on procedures, surgical procedures, medical procedures across the board.
Yeah. No, that's just
a rush. I mean, we're the actually only one that saved the lives of special operations.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely awesome. Well, you know, you're talking about using the PESH there as an example, who are awesome, by the way. But what are some of the interesting places that GSMSG goes? I mean, again, there's a global footprint, it seems, but, you know, maybe that you've been, and then just in general, some other places that might surprise the audience.
Absolutely. I mean, we have trips that have spanned all over the globe. We have teams that we have teams slated to go to Africa, Afghanistan, and different areas of that. We can't give specific locations due to OPSEC just prior to, but we've already been all over Iraq. And then we have teams that are slated for deploying currently to Afghanistan and Africa.
Got it. And what's kind of like there, you know, you get on your deployment rotations, you know, whether you're in service or whether you're with one of the agencies or what have you, and they all kind of vary a little bit. What's the typical travel schedule for you guys and other people within the organization there?
It's a lot better than the military, and the best part about it is it's voluntary. So
yeah, exactly. That's true.
Well, we actually, our deployments traditionally, we like to keep our medical professionals on ground for about 2 weeks at a time so that they have, you know, they can stay with the training side of things. You know, they have multiple classes or multiple patients that they can actually physically work with.
Yeah. And how's the relations been with our government on the ground in different locations there in terms of just your comms with them?
It's been really good, actually. We've had a lot of good feedback from the military, and we definitely like to help and support the military. Like I said earlier, we are the only civilian humanitarian aid foundation that has actually saved the lives of special operations veterans on the battlefield.
That's so awesome. I love that you're doing that. Tell me this, because for a lot of people, I think, in the audience, and when our mutual friend had told me about what you're doing, it was awesome to hear about it and then to look at the site and see more. What's the best place for people watching the show here to follow GSMSG and all that you guys do, donate, every, you know, all of that?
Well, you can definitely go to GSMSG.org. You can go to our Instagram, which is also the Global Surgical Medical Support Group. You can either follow me as well on Instagram to follow what we're doing, when our next trips are coming out. We have a trip, Team 14, going out, which will be our 15th team, I believe, that has deployed since our conception in 2015.
I love it. Well, hey, thanks again for your service, Byron, and in the military, and then for all that you do now. It was great having you on. We'll definitely look forward to having you back on to hear about all the awesome work that you guys are doing.
Absolutely. Maybe we can do a show live over there.
I love it. Let's do it. All right, folks, be sure to go and check out their organization. You can do that at gsmsg.org. Again, gsmsg.org. And donate to this awesome organization. Learn about all the awesome stuff that they are doing. Byron and the crew are killing it there. For now, we've got to get our weekend on, and we suggest that you do the same. We are off Monday, just FYI, but we'll look forward to seeing you Tuesday. Alan Keyes, Sarah Gonzalez, and so many other great guests will join us next week, so don't miss it. And finally, as always, remember, when it comes to your news and political commentary, experience matters. See you next week.